Blog Talk Radio.
I told y'all I was crazy last night, so I went right on to bed after I got done with my obligations. I could not.
Yeah.
I think I had a good 20 minutes where I was just staring at the wall. I have no idea what happened. Just staring at the wall. And I told Snow last night because she has... Okay, I'm going to tell you. Did we tell them about this game yesterday? I don't think we... No, I didn't get to tell y'all about the game because it was after the show. So one of our new PR friends, who, by the way, Ginger said he's planning on kidnapping you and Snow.
Really?
Yes, he says he loves him a redhead and a dolly.
Hotness. So all my redheads being touched up in a couple of days, so that'll be good.
Yes, so he's planning on kidnapping y'all, but he sent us over a game called... Oh, God, what's the name of that game?
We can talk to you about that other one later.
Okay. Yeah, it's Battle Camp. Did we talk about that one yesterday?
Battle Camp. No, I don't think we did. Okay. And good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Joe. I'm not speaking to Joe.
Go
message me talking
away.
About. Message me talking about get Ginger. Really? Obviously, you do not know women. You do not ask one woman to get the other. You request the presence of both of them, and you tell them how much you want them. See, you messed up, dude. You could have had your threesome. Now it's not gonna work out.
Could have had a threesome. Oh my god! I love our Tori.
You got to learn how to talk to your girls. That's why I told him. I said, you want me to get Ginger? Nah. All right. So he sent us over his game Battle Camp. And see, this is how loopy I am because I went all over the place to come back to this game, and it's not out yet. I'm mentioning it because it looks awesome. I'm gonna send Ginger a link because I just remember that we have Twitch.
yes, you should totally do that.
Because, you guys, you know what? Actually, I don't think I can. Don't put this up. You can look at it. I'm not sure if I don't want to get our guy in any trouble there for sharing. His name's also Joe. Doesn't that look awesome? But it's not out for Droid yet. But when it comes out for Droid, he says we get to have a preview build. But I will tell y'all about the game. It is an MMO, but it's on your phone.
Cute.
Isn't that adorable? Look at the little people. And I know you all are like, we want to see. I can't let you see because I have...
I can be a redhead.
Yes,
yay.
You can. Yes, you can. And it's an MMO, and you get to, you know, do MMO things, chat with people all over the world now, mind you. You don't have to tell people your name and, you know, give them your phone number. You can actually talk and interact with them. And you get to battle monsters, and you...
So it's like Pokemon, but not... Just for, you know,
not Pokemon. Pokemon's games are turn-based. These are, if you look, you know, scroll down the page, there's raids, troop wars. Look, it's adorable.
Ooh,
and of course,
cool.
Well, it does have a Pokemon-esque thing. You can collect some of the monsters. But if you find the best and rare ones, all that good stuff. But it's so adorable. But and I don't know if it's going to be cross-platform, meaning if you play it on iPhone, you can play with us on Droid. So we will be testing that out, too, because Snow's the only one here that has an iPhone.
She's the only one who's not come to the dark side yet.
It's all right that she comes to the dark side because, you know, sometimes we need some of this here going on because this one's cute.
Yeah.
This is cute. But this is where we got distracted yesterday, and... I told her I had to go because she needed to send me her information so they could give her the game. And she says, what are you going to go do? I says, I'm going to sit and stare. She says, what? Did your autocorrect take that? I was like, that is not autocorrect. I need to go sit and just stare, because that's what I've been doing for the past few hours. I had just moments. I have no idea what was going on. I was just gone.
Wow.
Yeah, so now today I'm having the balloon head where I'm kind of detached. I'm doing stuff, but I'm kind of on autopilot. But it's
girl,
a good...
you may need to go have that looked at.
I'm all right. It's a good autopilot. The dishes got washed, and I wasn't even there when it happened. It's good.
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning to all of you out there.
No. It's good morning.
Good morning. Oh, I forgot he's good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, that is cute, though. All right, so I have to talk about something.
What?
I came across this morning, and this is not cool. I don't usually talk about other people's podcasts just because, you know, frenemies, that whole thing. Anyways, I got to talk about this today. On GamePolitics.com this morning, they had an interesting article. And I don't know how this is going to pertain to us or even if it will for certain, but I do know that I'm a little bit scared about it. Patent troll lays claims to podcast demands payment.
What?
Yeah. All right. So but there's another podcast. You know what?
Well, you can go ahead and throw them out there because we need to know this.
Super Podcast Action Committee says they may be coming to a bitter end. Unbeknownst to its co-host or producer, it was violating a patent with every episode recorded and published for your listening pleasure. With the potential licensing fee and damages needed to be paid, it would kill the Super PAC overnight. That's if Personal Audio has its way in court. Personal Audio is the holder of a patent, 8,112,504, which it claims grants it complete ownership of the podcast format. Yeah, until Personal Audio created this patent, no one thought of using the internet to stream or otherwise distribute episodic recordings of news, commentary, reviews, or anything else people use for podcasts. So in other words, we could be in trouble with this. Not that I think this is going to go anywhere, but... While Personal Audio has not quite set its sights on the Super PAC, it has begun its legal battle with several popular podcasts. Its current targets include Adam Carolla's Ace Broadcasting, How Stuff Works, and Hoggy Entertainment. The primary claim in contention here is Claim 31 of the patent, which reads, apparatus for disseminating a series of episodes represented by media files via the internet as said episodes become available. It goes on to describe an apparatus that basically boils down to anything connected to something else to allow transfer of the podcast. That means your computer connected to the host server over the internet qualifies, and any podcast using that apparatus violates this patent.
Oh, let me tell you where this is going to be dead in the water right mm-hmm. now. If they push this, because that means they're saying that they can exert control over companies, oh, say like Microsoft. Oh, mm-hmm. Google, you know this is not happening.
No, it's not.
Because you know Microsoft will come in and say, well, if you're going to do that, we're going to sue you for using your apparatus over our operating system. Apple will come after them. Dude, you...
Oh, these people are in Texas. Oh, let me go hunt. Well, passive trolling is nothing.
Girl, load the dogs up in the truck.
I know,
get the shotgun.
Right?
Let's do
Hell
this.
Yeah.
See, my accent came out. Load the dogs up in the truck. Get the shotgun. Let's go handle this real
mm-hmm.
quick.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, they say it's frustrating that Personal Audio operates out of an empty office in East Texas in order to take advantage of the patent-friendly courts in that region, a common patent troll tactic. Wow.
There are.
The EFF is looking to help any podcasts who have been sent demand letters over this patent.
Y'all
bring it on, buddies. You bring it. I will march down to your empty office in. There will be nothing left.
I wonder if your empty office is violating any, health code violations, work restrictions. You know, do you have that work little poster posted there?
Well, I think I smell gas over there, you know?
I don't know. Too.
Dude. Same if something happens.
It would be a... Oh, you all do not understand how Texans operate. Ginger, Uncle Boil the grits, you get the dogs. And let's handle this real quick. You will open your door and there will be hot grits all over you.
Seriously, how can they do this? What were they thinking? That is just ridiculous.
I understand what they're thinking with their wallets, but you have to understand, if you start barking, the bigger dogs are going to bark, and it's just going to be, it's not going to come out well for you, because the way that they're wording this, or if their patent works properly, that puts every single podcast, video cast as well, under their jurisdiction, and Microsoft is not going to let you, matter of fact, let me put this to you guys, your PlayStation Network videos and your Microsoft channels on TV, hell, even Comcast would fall under this. Xfinity, any company in existence that has started doing a podcast, what is it, Pandora, everybody, all these companies, mm-hmm. that do podcasts is who they would be coming after. And it's one of you, and it's like 15 million of them. It's not going to happen. They will bury you.
Exactly.
The most you can hope for is to go to one of the big companies and say, you know, go ahead and give us a million, and we'll be quiet and just sign, get your million, and shut up, because otherwise it's going to get ugly. They're going to rip you up. It's not going to happen. Not a. It's a smart thing if you were Microsoft, yes, because who could take you down? But you are some little person who's renting, mm-hmm. and if you can't even be in your own office, that's how scared you are. If you
control the wrong people.
Yep, done messed up. All right. I gave you a trailer there.
All right, I'm pulling it up right now. There we go.
Okay, you somehow have to. I'm trying to ditch my Texas accent. You made me. Maybe mad there. Seriously.
I know. Girl, I feel you. I feel you.
I need
some. You're going to come after our podcast? Mm-mm.
I will find a rusty pickup truck. Look, I will find an old rusty pickup truck from 1957. And the significance of that for you young ones is rusty pickup trucks from 1957 are near indestructible.
That's the reason why those things still exist.
Yes. So I need one of those. I need me two dogs on the back. Ginger's going to drive. We're going to put on our checkered shirts.
And y'all saw me drive an ATV, so you bring it.
Right?
I will run you over.
And I'm going to sit in the back with the dogs. Look, with the dogs on my two chains. they never have a collar and leash. They always got a chain around their neck.
Exactly. Yep.
I would like you all to know, redneck, hood, same thing, just so y'all know. Okay, anyway, let me tell y'all about this game, Mutant Badlands.
Mm. Yay! This does look kind of Badlandish.
It does look Badlandish.
Around the fire.
But Mutant Badlands has now been renamed, so you know, it's called Radiated Waste. I'm sorry, no, it's now Mutant Badlands. It was formerly known as Radiated Wasteland, and they are now in open beta.
It's open beta, yay!
Oh God, what is that? Is that a zombie? What is he? Oh, that's disgusting. Okay, so anyway, this is... That gun is nice, right? Browser game studio Pixel Pandemic has launched an open beta of Mutant Badlands, again, formerly known as Radiated Wasteland, as part of, as of yesterday. Why didn't y'all just send this to us, guys? What is the delay? Anyway, oh, never mind, I see who it is. I'm sorry, one of those moves today. Okay, so CEO Thomas Jacobson is saying, he says, we feel there are way too few challenging browser-based RPGs for gamers like us, who are at least used to hardcore gamers. In my opinion, the market is flooded by cute farm animals and boring linear gameplay. I have to agree with you there. He says, we wanted to develop a complex MMORPG with a complex skill and character customization system. We also wanted a game that featured tactical turn-based combat gameplay and exploration of a huge map with multiple NPCs, story-driven missions. Dude, shut up. You made an MMO in a browser. Just say it. Okay, so the player's character is a young adult who has spent his or her entire life in the confines of Oasis 4, a sheltered underground village. The tiny community has survived for almost three decades, well-protected from the radioactive clouds that suffocated the surface of the Earth, you know, after we scorched the sky in the Matrix. So although there's been news, I'm going to start the Matrix references again. I already see it coming.
It's zombies.
The people of Oasis 4 know that the surface world is rife with danger. Mutants and raiders rule the surface, and anyone who tries to pioneer the wasteland, it looks like Cthulhu, right? The wasteland is met with lethal opposition. As the scavenging parties find fewer and fewer resources, Oasis 4 is faced with a difficult decision to finally migrate to the surface. You are amongst those sent to explore this strange new world and carve out a new path for your people. Mutant Badlands is developed by Copenhagen-based Pixel Pandemic, and the second game following up to their survival horror MMORPG, Zombie Pandemic, which I have been looking for 2 years. Thank you for finally sending this over. I was looking for a zombie pandemic. I ran across it about 2 years ago, probably right when Ginger came on board, and we were trying to find it. This is one of the ones I was going to give you, your first deal, and could not find it again. It got lost somewhere in an email, or I deleted it or something.
Oh, no.
But it's browser-based, and I wanted to give it to you because you, Ginger, is one of those people that loves to shoot people in the face. She does.
I do. I like to shoot people in the face. It's a lot of fun.
So this might actually be good, people. I don't know. I have a... Well, I'm playing Zombie Pandemic now. I'm sorry. Sorry to disappoint you. But I will try this other one. And actually, I know exactly who to give this to. Ural, are you out there?
Ural,
are you out there? Woohoo! He's going to be like, why?
but we love you, Ural.
You know what? He is just as militant as Ginger, actually. I think I'm starting to mellow. Ginger's very militant about the gaming stuff. Ural is just as militant as you. Do you know he messages me like all times of the night with links to things that he reads on the internet about gaming, and it just pisses him off. He's ranting. And I'm like, Ural, I am sleeping.
Girl, I went off on a guy on Facebook the other day.
I know, it I saw you.
I had to retype that about 3 times, too.
You all...
That was the toned-down version.
If you all are not our friends on Facebook or you're not following our website, you are missing out on some just choice arguments.
It was like, really? Documentation of undocumented things. Huh. All right. That sounds smart.
My phone kept going ding, ding. I'm like, what is that? And I pick it up and I see Ginger Rocks has posted. Da-da-da-da-da. And then it cuts off right at a point because, you know, it can't show the whole thing. And I'm like, what is going on? So I lie back down. And then ding, ding, ding. And I'm like, and I look, Ginger Rocks. And it's just like a running scroll on my phone. I'm like, oh, my.
Ginger Rocks is upset, man. I was sort of a bit like, I was talking to somebody here in real life about it, too. I was like, did you see what this guy wrote?
So, I don't know, Ural messaged me something last night about used games or something. I was like, my head hurts. I can't.
Oh, yeah, but I'll see PS3 and the Xbox not going to be using used games.
Oh, wait a minute. If he still has it open, I will tell you. Oh, the developers are complaining apparently about releasing a demo of games. That's why they're trying not to. It says it cuts their game sales in half. And this is how his link came.
Because you're forcing those of us who podcast and write about it to buy your game, to call it crap.
True. Yes? Look, this is his text. Oh, hell no. And then a link. And I went, what is And then... Yeah, then he has a long rant there. I was like, my head hurt, and I can't.
Well, and my thought is, if releasing a review of something cuts your...
No, not the review, a demo.
Oh, so releasing a demo cuts your profit.
Yeah, cuts their game sales.
And then make your demo better so that I want to buy the full version.
Exactly. You know, here's what I don't understand. Okay, they released a demo on Xbox Live Store. PlayStation Network does the same thing. Why is it that once I play the demo, I can't just unlock the rest of the game? We all know it's there.
Yeah.
We know that you have the full game there, you've locked some of it off. Just let me unlock it. I'll buy it. You know what messes you up is you don't play up on the laziness of some of us. Sometimes I just don't want to leave the house. I want your game, but I don't want it enough to leave the house, and I don't feel like ordering it. I just want to sit there and push a button and have it download and go and get my coffee and my something good to eat and sit down and play. I don't want to go to the Redbox or to the GameStop. I don't feel like the guy at the GameStop looking down my shirt or damn girl, you have a nice ass. I just don't want to do it. I just want to sit on my couch. I know some of y'all are like, you didn't hit somebody for saying that to you. Sometimes it's just not worth it.
True. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to go to jail for hitting you. All right. So, Captain Antarctica. Yay. You know what? Hold on.
Oh, are we supposed to cheer? Oh, yay.
I don't know. Am I sharing it? Did I even? Oh, no, I didn't. There we go. Captain Antarctica. Yay. All right, there we go. All right, so Captain Antarctica releases this Thursday, so that's in, 2 days? Free updates arrive February 14th for iPhone and iPad. FDG Entertainment is excited to announce the release of a huge update for Captain Antarctica coming this week to iPhone and iPad.
No.
The update is free for existing customers.
No.
Join Captain Antarctica on an all-new breakneck mission and help him to overcome tons of devious enemies and obstacles Oh, look, the little penguin. Discover a new endless mode. Destroy massive bosses. And save your family and friends and eat tons of fish. That's right, fish. Free update will be released on February 14th for both iPhone and iPad, so no fun for me. Captain Antarctica was co-produced and developed by Moscow-based number one track-topping studio Ideal Bureaucracy. With support of HQ Games. Yay! Captain Antarctica. Oh, he's mad.
Oh, he's got the eye is twitching.
Uh-oh.
Be afraid.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, he's mad.
Okay, I like the eye twitch thing. That's adorable. It's the equivalent of, which Ginger has not played this game yet. Wet. Shut up. It is not what you think.
No, not played it yet, no.
Yeah. Wet, there's and only the girls get this, the guys don't. There's a part in Wet where she's killing the bad guys and the blood splatters on her face. And my thought was, I just spent 2 hours putting on this makeup. Did you just splatter on my face? And then, of course, you know, she looks, you know, the screen goes red, kind of like in Kill Bill, and she does the one eye thing. She's like, oh, all of you are going to die. And then you just get
Captain
to go
Antarctica! Sorry, I'm still watching this.
So you go get
I must save my wife, but I'm not safe in the jet yet. And the look on his face. Oh, no.
Oh, that's kind of...
That's
interesting. That's an interesting perspective that they have there, the top down.
That is.
It's very interesting.
And
then
that
he's going from bottom to from top to bottom instead of up. That's confusing and kind of interesting to play. Okay, I like the one with the iron beak.
No, he's got a fork, people. He's got a fork.
There's something wrong with the ginger. Y'all come again. Come and pick up your ginger.
Cute. So you want me to show this next one then?
Yes, because it's from our favoriteest developer.
Yay! Favoriteest
developer we love.
This video is private.
What?
This video is private.
Oh, come on now, Paradox. Oh, well, I don't think they realize it's private. I'll have to submit that. Because they generally do not do that. Did y'all just make us look bad, Paradox? How dare you? How darest thou? Okay, I'll give you the website instead. We'll let you slide because we love you so much. I really do wish I could breathe through my nostrils. It would be nice.
Breathe.
I really wish I could. All right, so you guys know John Panette is doing the voice acting for a new game from Paradox, Empire. He's a comedian, in case you didn't know him. And that video was supposed to give you a behind-the-scenes look. So
is this the retraction one? Because we got something about retraction about that earlier.
What, Panette? John Panette?
Yeah, I saw it in the mail. I don't remember what it said, though.
I don't have anything.
Okay.
But anyway, if it is, we'll tell you later. I'll get to it in a minute if it's there. Of course, this is the video is supposed to show you a behind-the-scenes look at the strategy game from Cyanide Studios Montreal. The video introduces you, the player, to comedian John Panette, who lends his impudent wit to Empire as the voice of Baal Abaddon, a demonic character struggling to reclaim his reign while under the control of an incompetent sorcerer. Players will sympathize with Baal's frustrations as portrayed by Panette when Empire launches day after tomorrow. Hot, right? The game is now available for pre-order for a mere
$19.99. Oh, that's why the video's not being shown. Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Did you find out why? Go ahead.
Yes. I don't know if I can, but they just said that they didn't mean to issue the video so soon, and that they apologized for spilling the cauldron.
You know what, Paradox? We are not pleased. I'm going to need 5 copies of this to give away. Anybody out there?
I know, right?
Look, notice I said 5. Ginger, don't go. I said 5. Okay, 8. God, to give some to other people.
Yeah, that's true. There are 5 of them. 5. 5!
I'm about to say, look. We need copies. Did they send a new video? They didn't send a new one?
Mm-mm.
I am not pleased with you, Paradox. Not at all. And see how I'm pausing? That means it's really bad when I pause between each sentence. You should be afraid. All right. Ginger, what you got?
Oh, well, I need to close out of that. So, 1 second.
Oops.
I was reading the thing. Anyways, all right. So, Zynga stock. Apparently climbing again.
Really?
With the prospects of an online New Jersey gambling bill being passed. Social game maker Zynga saw its stock get a substantial boost today as the prospects of an online gambling bill in the state of New Jersey that made its way to Governor Chris Christie's desk last week. And while he vetoed the bill, the governor left the door open for an amended bill to be to garner his approval. If passed, the bill would allow casinos in Atlantic City to offer online gambling using real money. Of course, the way the current ecosystem for online gambling is set up, one can only engage in real money online gambling if they live in a state that supports it. The bill would also open up the possibility for European companies that deal in online casino games. Last October, Zyniga announced an agreement with Bwin Party to offer real money online games in the UK. And in December, the company announced that it had applied for a gambling license in Nevada. For investors, the hope is that the company will get its foot in the online gambling game in the U.S. market, which would generate a lot of revenue for the company if it were to choose the right partners in states where it's legal. I don't know what I think about this. I'm kind of mad about online gambling. Some of y'all
it's
are
not just online gambling. I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound horrible. Zynga, what you're doing is kind of like watching the nun become the prostitute. Stop it! Why are you...
You'll pay a lot of good money to watch that. So.
But I can't... Why didn't you just get you some developers fresh out of school and just do some other games? You could have kept your Farmville, or better yet, reworked it so it was actually a simulator, because we are begging for them. The simulator genre is on the rise, in case you all did not realize that. We got Omerta coming out, you got SimCity coming out, and there's a couple of others. Omerta is awesome. So why did you not just stick with it? I'm so disappointed in you, Zynga.
She's so disappointed. How dare you, Zynga?
And Mark, I was going to sit in your lap. You can just give that spot away to somebody else. I'm not sitting in your lap. That's just dirty.
All right.
Like, my sitting in his lap wasn't going to be dirty. But this is a whole other kind of dirty that I cannot abide. All right. Ginger, by the way, I just realized that you sent me the Toddly Do blog.
Which one?
The only one that I have. Apparently, you sent this to me in a moment when I wasn't really there. I was like, oh, where did that come from? And then I looked, Ginger gave that to me.
When? Last night, you even said something to me when I did. You were like,
I did?
Yeah. Because that one talks about how to make clothing and stuff. So.
No.
And even talks about how to make your own HUD. So. I thought you might be interested.
I got nothing. I don't even recollect seeing this. Sad, right? Okay. Okay. Speaking of people making some changes, Minecraft.
Minecraft making changes? What are they doing?
Well, Minecraft developer Mojang will probably release its brick building games on all available platforms and then some that aren't available, like toasters and cats.
What?
The toaster and cat platform. Those are the new coming platforms. You're going to be able to play games on the side of your toaster or on the back of your cat. I know Kittenatrix would like that.
I'm pretty sure my cat will be mad.
Well, Kittenatrix would love it. She'd just chase whatever it was and, you know, to
shoot it. You get up off me.
So, today, Mojang officially released Minecraft Pi Edition. You say Pi Edition, what's that mean? It's for the little tiny Raspberry Pi Linux-based PC.
Ooh, they're going to release it on Raspberry Pi?
No, not going to. Have. And here's where it's really going to piss the rest of us off. It's free.
I'm a little jealous here.
I paid $26 for my Minecraft for Baby Natrix. Okay, but you can get yours if you have a Raspberry Pi at pi.minecraft.net. Mojang based this new version of the game on the work it did for the Pocket Edition for iOS and Android, which I am avoiding because I'm trying not to get sucked in. Of course, Raspberry Pi's creators designed it to help teach people about computing and programming, and with that in mind, Mojang made Pi Edition fully crackable, so rookies could open and experiment with the code. The possibilities are massive. Mojang Chief Word Officer Owen Hill wrote on their blog, their official blog. He says you could organize the cheapest LAN party of all time or use the Pi to learn the fundamentals of programming on a minuscule budget. It's like hacking your way into Minecraft and modifying the game world with code, a bit like being Minecraft developers, Notch, Jeb, or Nathan, but arguably more fun and less stressful. If you are not familiar with the Raspberry Pi computer, it costs a mere $35, and it is super, super powerful. Where Tuckin comes with 512 megabytes of RAM starting. And you can get additional RAM at no extra cost.
That sounds amazing. I love that.
They've even got bundles now, apparently, over at when you buy the Raspberry Pi. You can get a Pi with that comes in a little clear case. Dude, if you this can fit in my purse. I could just... that one is $43.99. You got one that comes a bare bones kit with a glass board and a red case for $44.99. They have a programmer's bundle for those of you who... Okay, I'm going to have to get this. It's a Raspberry Pi basic board. Comes with a case, a 5-volt 1A micro USB power supply, and a 4-gigabyte SD card with no operating system. You could put whatever you want on it. That's
$59.99. That is so sexy.
And they go up from there. So I think the most expensive one I see here is actually $84.99, and that's the education bundle for teachers. I want
now, an out shopping for like a notebook type thing or a pad or something. I don't know. And you know, I keep trying to talk people into this. No.
They don't want the Pi?
No, they don't want the Pi. And I'm like, why not? They're like, well, do it.
You can plug things into. They've even got keyboards on the site. There's a home theater keyboard that rolls up. This one is roll it up. You know, those little softy keyboards. This one rolls up. Man.
Well, that and they're like, well, I would need a screen and
Oh, it comes with a screen. You can get a screen. They got an LCD one that you
can
plug in.
Do you have a link for this? I need to see this.
Yeah, you need to see this. This one's screen I'm looking at is 148. Ginger, you can put this up on the screen for the people. If you'd like it.
Yeah.
This is not actually at the Pi website. This is from MCM Electronics. I guess they're a retailer for Raspberry Pi. But you can get screens. You can get a small screen. There's a small one. It's a 2.5-inch LCD display for $43.99. So literally, people, you can pick up a brand-new computer for under $100 if you just really wanted one or you needed one for school. I mean, of course, you can't program on a 2.5-inch screen, but I'm saying those of you who just wanted a new computer, maybe you want to – I don't know, but you could. Oh man, I want this so bad.
I'm going to buy this for my nephews.
Oh God, it's sexy. I mean, I have to put my hands below my desk. They even put down there at the bottom, in case you're not familiar with Linux, if you get one with the Linux installed already, Linux for Dummies is down at the bottom of the page, and the Linux Bible. I have been wanting to pick up Linux.
I tried a couple years back, and then I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm married to Windows.
Well, I want to try the programming in it because it's a virtually untouched, you know, nobody really does much.
No, because nobody really knows what to do with it.
Well, that's why I want to get into it before they mess it up. Yeah, I don't want to, but before they get in and mess it up, I'd like to know the basics. I may pick that up.
I like that. 7-inch LCD display with composite input for Raspberry Pi. I like that. That is cute.
Again, people, the size of a credit card, especially us girls out there, this can fit in your bra. Just put it in the bra. Just go about your way.
I'd have to be playing my Minecraft on that anyway.
Could you? Wait a minute.
Yes.
Wait a minute. That would be hilarious. Could you see? You don't see the computer. You just see because she's got it in her bra. And then there's a screen. And that's a keyboard.
You know what? Some fashion designer totally used this idea to put in like a screen or something and have like...
Oh, there's a guy that made the dress out of the floppy cables that turns invisible when the woman gets aroused. Have you seen that? That was on at Fashion Week.
No, I've not seen that.
We'll be talking about that tonight on Pixinista. Yes.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be hilarious.
But I think somebody else posted, said, you know, that guy is not very smart because this is how it'll really work. You'll take her out on a date. She'll have on the dress. It won't go see-through, but you'll take her to Nordstrom's and she'll pass by the shoe window and be like, oh, hey. Then the dress.
I know, right?
You are absolutely correct.
If you want my dress to go see-through, you need to buy me that pair and that pair. And if you even want to have a chance of touching what you see underneath this dress, I'm going to need all five of those pairs.
And those high boots. And all those bags.
Okay. Oh, that's evil. That's evil. All right, so it's my go again. God, that's sexy, though. All right, so where is my trailer for this? I know I have it. Is it this one? I think it's this one.
I don't know.
You know what? I can always just open this up and check right here. Oh, no, I can't. Why are all my websites being... All right, so anyways, I think this is the video for it. I'm going to hit play. Yeah, this is it. Noble Muffins releases Grudger on Android. Yay! Grudger is an acrobatic, free-running adventure in a dangerous steampunk world. Wall jump, rocket, and dive through 30 challenging levels with our refined swipe controls and big city soundtrack. This is so cute. I love it.
Rawr.
I love it. That's just adorable.
Okay, that makes it cute. I like a platform.
I know, right? Grudger the man is a low-life courier who doesn't care what's in the box as long as he gets paid. Only his morally hopeless customers might help him or might call him the hero. We like him. We'll never know the ends, only the means. Use your wits and the environment to get the job done, or trip to the sound of crushed bones.
Okay, so basically they took the transporter and made a game out of it.
yeah, I guess so. That's kind of cute. That's kind of adorable.
It is rather.
All right, so can I talk about another one? Because that one was kind of short.
But of course, darling.
All right, Oddland.
Really?
Enter the glamorous life of law enforcement in Oddland, the world of tomorrow. May in reality be a lawless, irradiated, I swear I can talk, wasteland populated by homicidal mutants, offering very low life expectancy and inadequate benefits. G4M3 Studios released this game for mobile devices, invites you to become the elite law enforcement of the future, where shoot first, ask questions later is the first and only rule of law enforcement, where the only good mutant is one with a clip full of ammo emptied into them. Oddland. To play first-person action shooter out now on iOS and Android. Oh, yay! Free to play, too. Android, yay. Set in a post-apocalyptic future, Earth ravaged by nuclear war with the remnants of humanity struggling for survival, Oddland sees players take on the role of Oddlander, an enforcer reminiscent of the gunslingers of the American Wild West, trying to establish law and order in a lawless world now overrun by brainless mutants, cold-blooded thugs, that's how they wrote it, and oppressive faction controlling the last remaining resources. Featuring both single and multiplayer modes, along with character customization and RPG elements, Oddland is the dual shooter that takes no prisoners. All right. You know, everybody's kind of doing this whole post-apocalyptic thing recently.
Yes, because Fallen Earth set the bar. You started all this, and then now everybody's trying to get in. But I still haven't found anybody that does it as well as they do. And I'm sorry, you Borderlands people, you can't touch Fallen Earth.
Mm-mm.
I'm sorry, you just don't. I got in there, and I was bored, because post-apocalypse is not just about fighting. It's also about trying to survive. That's what makes Fallen Earth awesome. You got to fight, but you also got to keep yourself alive, as in eat. As in fine stuff. Did you buy your farm? I'm waiting on you.
No, it's still not working. I've got to contact them and be all like, hey, why?
I'll be waiting on my
farm. Oh, no, I didn't. I gotta use it. It tells me this code is invalid.
You may have
to
flex.
You sent it to me. Why is my code invalid?
Yeah, we may have to flex some superpowers there to get that done.
Tom, I want a 12 plot farm.
Ooh. I don't think I like the way that sounds. Okay, I do. Okay, yeah, I do.
Yeah, you do. Corey likes it when I get all bossy.
Okay. Indiecade is going on in New York this weekend, but I don't have any other information about it other than to tell you it's going to be hosted by the Museum of the Moving Image, if you're up that way, and it's going to start Friday, February 15th through Sunday. It's called Indiecade East, which tells me there will probably be a West or a South or something. I don't know. I don't have any other info. I wish I did. They sent a very short little bit over.
No other info.
I have nothing. Oh, wait. Let me scroll down.
You can't see it, but I'm totally sticking my bottom lip out on
the side. Wait.
No,
okay.
Yes?
Wait. Their PR finally showed up. It was weird. Okay.
Yay.
Finally. Okay, let me get Ginger a web page. They didn't give me a web page. I love when they do this. Okay. I will give you the link. Ginger will show you the online form at least, and then we'll put it up on the site for you a little bit later. You can go by and get signed up. But at least you'll know what you're looking for when you head over there. How about they didn't get... What is wrong with these people? I'm going to have to do it the hard way. All right. Let me give Ginger. I cannot believe this. This is weird.
They didn't give you anything?
Well, they gave me some stuff. I had to actually, like, search for it. For some reason, I think our server was not liking them for whatever reason. But anyway, again, it's going to be Friday through Sunday, if you're up that way, at, again, the Museum of Moving Image in New York City. Indicate is supposed to be, you can bring everybody. So if you've got little people, those of you who are parents, nieces, nephews, the little people mm-hmm. can go in. These are going to be the top. You get to try 27 of the top games from independent developers, as well as upcoming game Oculus Rift. There's some workshops, some panels that you can participate in an arcade tournament. Watch them make a game because somebody, I guess, they're going to be doing it live, which I've been dying for somebody to do a reality show like that. Hello. Special guests include Chris Piotrowski, who's the creator of Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery expansion pack, and Doug Wilson, who made Johann Sebastian Joust. Children will also learn what it's like to make a game in the Game Making Game, a workshop. This is only for 8 and older. Some of you, ages 8 and older, don't be all in there hanging out with the babies. Let them have their fun. Space War.
Yeah, you might get some weird looks.
Yeah. Yeah. Space War Video Game Blast Off, which is an exhibition that commemorates the 50th anniversary of video games, will be on view there through March the 3rd. So if you can't get out this weekend, if you can get up there before March, you can see it then. Some other activities, they say, of course, is night games, and it's going to be Saturday evening of gameplay over two floors of the museum. So that's two floors of gaming, people. Hot. New York-centric game design challenge. Students and faculty from NYU Game Center and Parsons, the New School for Design, will face off in a real-time competition to design a video game in 1 hour. Hot. Game Slam is will be going on as well, in which game makers present their works, and an ongoing festival, Show and Tell, inviting attendees to share their own games and receive feedback. So if you have designed a game, good place to take it, see if anybody likes it. There's also a 10-game arcade tournament and a festival-long jam in which invited participants work day and night to build a game, culminating in a presentation of completed games. So you got the one-hour thing, and then you got the one over the whole festival. And this is a museum. I guess this museum has been around for about 25 years, so they've been mm-hmm. doing the video game thing for about 25 years. It's being sponsored by Adobe, Sony, Parsons, the New School for Design, NYU Game Center, Entertainment Technology Center, Carnegie Mellon University, OUYA.
OUYA!
The Bowl Company, ITP, Tisch School of Arts of NYU, Siftio, Tumblr is also in on this, Turtle Beach, Game Media Partners, and Killscreen. And if you are not familiar with where this is and you're like, I want to go, it is at 36-0135 Avenue, Astoria, New York, 11106, again, at the Museum of the Moving Image. They do have a passes available for the full weekend or day passes. If you are a little person, which you should not be, well, you can listen to the morning news, I guess. You have to be 13 or over and have a valid ID, students. So you can't show up and be 10 without your mommy. Senior citizens receive a discount. Yes, we got some senior citizen gamers. Access for children 3 to 12 will be included with a regular admission. So if you bring your kids, I guess you don't pay for them. They just come with you. There's also Silver Screen members who will receive free admission. Full festival passes for the public, $80, $60 for students, seniors, museum members. Friday afternoon from 4 p.m. onwards, $15 for the public, $10 for you students, and so on. February the 16th, it's going to be $30, but this does not include the nighttime gaming where we said it's over two floors. And, of course, Saturday evening, if you show up, it's $12 to the public, $9 for you students, seniors, and museum members. If you go, let us know.
That is totally awesome.
It is absolutely awesome. I kind of want to go.
That would be awesome if we could.
I really want to go.
You really, 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 really want to go?
I really, really want to go.
All right, so I'm
going to be
there. We go. I was looking for the press release that goes along with this image that I think. Am I actually showing it to y'all? Yeah, I'm showing it to y'all. Okay. All right, so MMO Hall of Fame inducts 5 new games. One Corey likes and one I'm like, what the hell? But all right, so RuneScape and City of Heroes gets in. Yay!
That hurts that they're not around anymore and they got into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my heart. My heart hurts. Gamers first, please.
Pick it up. Corey's going to die without it.
Oh, people need saving. There's a lady somewhere. The need you to help get her purse back from the gang members, please.
All right, so members of the MMO Hall of Fame nominating committee have voted. Five new inductees are now enshrined in the hallowed virtual halls of the MMO Hall of Fame over at MMOHall.com. Each committee member selects 10 games they feel have set standards in the gaming field. The list of nominees are then forwarded to the Hall of Fame curator. The results are then tallied, with any games receiving 60% of the votes becoming automatic inductees. This year's crop of games contained releases from 1996 to 2007, including Lord of the Rings Online. Really?
Oh, yeah, it was good. It was good.
All right. Surprisingly, LOTRO, Lord of the Rings Online, did not get in on its first year of eligibility. The 2013 MMO Hall of Fame Nominating Committee is a roundtable comprised of gaming industry notables Matt Furor, president of ZeniMax Online, Todd Coleman, VP Creative Director at Kings Isle Entertainment, Andreas Smith, CEO and founder of Infernum Productions, Brian Kowski, Marketing Director of Enmass Entertainment, Mark Hill, producer, Perfect World Entertainment, Jeff Riggle, Senior Producer, Cartoon Network Game Studio, Gordon Walton, Stephen Johnston, Eric Bloom, and Carolyn Coe. All right, so the inductees for 2013 are, in no particular order, RuneScape, 80% of the votes, Meriden 59, 60% of the vote, Asheron's Call, 80% of the votes, Dark Age of Camelot!
Oh, my God. Oh, my ears.
Sorry, City of Heroes, 70% of the votes, Dark Age of Camelot. God, that's an amazing game. Although there was no unanimous winner in 2013, we did have a three-way tie for first place with over 100%. With over 100 games to choose from, I think the committee did an excellent job of picking five that certainly set their mark in their respected area of massively multiplayer online games. This is coming from Doug Kale, director of MMO Hall of Fame. That's amazing. Dark Age Camelot. Yes. Yes. God, I love that game. Love that game. Amazing game. Yay, so way to go, Dark Age Camelot. RuneScape.
Oh, stop it. RuneScape's nice for its time.
Oh, that's got noise. I don't know, girl. Okay.
Let them go. It's all right. It's not the show. Good, yes. Okay, I got two because this one's going to be real short. You're watching the trailer. One of our favorite games. Ginger, will you put up my trailer, woman?
I did. It's up. It's up.
Introversion Software. Okay, Darwinia developer Introversion and also makers of Uplink Hacker Elite.
Okay, it's a game again.
Yes, Sim. This is the upcoming management Sim Prison Architect. I told you, simulators are making a comeback. They've earned over $1 million so far. $1
million.
$1 million from pre-order sales alone. Not bad for a team of, get this, people, seven people. Now, who knew so many people dreamed of being prison wardens? I do. I gotta say, that's one of the things I want to try out. I'm one of those people. The reason why I like simulators is it allows me to play with other jobs. You know, of course, I can't know what it's really like, but I get to play around with it and, you know, do some things obviously I wouldn't be able to do. Can't beat up the prisoners and stuff and expect no consequences, but you know. Of course, their current total on their self-made Kickstarter comes to $1,016,710 out of 30,259 alphas sold. That comes to an average of a pledge of $33.60. The minimum amount one can buy the alpha for is $30, of course, and then 35 grants players, an art book, and soundtrack, while $40 pledges come with Introversion's entire back catalog, as well as all of the above. That is nice. What an incredible milestone. That is what they're saying. So we are incredibly thankful to anyone who has joined us so far. This is from the Introversion Software's company account. For more information on Prison Architect, you can kind of keep it locked here. We will let you know if we find out anything.
There you go. You kind of like cut out there for a second on me. I was like, where'd my cord go?
Okay.
All right.
It's still my turn. Back up.
That's right. You said you had a second one.
Back up, woman. You're cute, but I hurt you. Back up.
Don't cut me.
I won't cut you. I love you, Ginger.
Okay.
I might bite you, though.
Nom, nom.
All right. the CEO at Ouya is still saying stuff.
Really? What's she saying today?
She's saying why free to try is mandatory. Ouya's pitch to developer centers on the console as an open platform, allowing them, of course, to release their games to a television-bound audience however they see fit, without restriction on the types of games they make or how they monetize their efforts. And this is not going to work with all the trouble we're having, Ouya. They must be restricted some way. We must have a rating system.
Yes.
There is one notable exception to that, as Ouya mandates that all games on the Eponius platform support a free-to-try option. What about the rating system there, Ouya? Anyway, they spoke with our friends over at Games Industry International at the DICE Summit in Las Vegas last week, and Ouya CEO Julie Ehrman explained the limitation. Ehrman said the idea was attractive to consumers as it puts the onus on developers to make an engaging
experience.
It's a very fancy word. Make an engaging experience that convinces players to invest their time and money with the title. However, she also expects it to handle some of the curation duties that come with running an online storefront. She says it cleans up the app store. It removes the confusion between a paid app store and a free app store. Okay, I get what she's saying. That actually makes sense. I don't like you, Julie. We also think it cuts down on...
That makes sense, but I don't like you, Julie.
I had to throw that in there. It just can't be all good. She says it also cuts down on copycat games where you have games that look like another, and one is paid, but the other is free, and you don't know what to do. So we thought the easiest way to remove that and create an experience for gamers and developers that was rewarding in their own right was to adopt this free-to-try model. Beyond that, we will handle some basic gatekeeping, making sure people aren't infringing on others' IP or releasing games with malware, pornography. However, the company won't be screening games out for quality. That's really up to the gamers and how often they play the game, Ehrman said. Okay, I like that too. Just trying to like you. I don't like it. Since we're really important, what's really important to us in games on Ouya's engagement, and that's what's really going to dictate what a great game is and what's going to lead our curation and merchandising plan. Another part of Ouya's plan calls for periodic refreshes of the hardware. Ehrman said the company hopes to release new versions of the console every year, which we've heard about and we don't like. If I buy it once, why I gotta buy it every year? Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
They did announce two games that would serve as examples of Yeah, I scrolled and I should not have scrolled. Anyway, there's two games that they talked about.
Never scroll.
And which will be Double Fine's Kickstarter adventure and The Wars with Friends. One is also going to be there on the console. We saw another game that was coming out that was supposed to be on the Ouya platform that looked really good, but we didn't know what it was about. It's just really pretty screenshot. Do I remember that?
Vaguely.
Yeah, very, very vaguely. I don't know why they don't own Ouya.com. You all need to get on that.
I know, right? That's strange.
Handle that.
All right, so we got 8 minutes, so I'm not going to run out of time. But I want to tell you all about this because apparently a lot of people are having game challenges going on right now. Well, the third annual National STEM Video Game Challenge for students is open. Organizers of the annual National STEM Video Game Challenge, Joan Gons Cooney Center at Sesame Workshop and E-Line Media, announced today that student submissions of original video games and game designs is now open at stemchallenge.org. In its third year, the annual challenge hopes to inspire and motivate interest in science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM, by tapping into students' enthusiasm for playing and making video games. The 2013 National STEM Video Game Challenge is accepting entries from U.S. students in the two categories this year, middle school and high school. The middle school category is open to students in grades 5 through 8, and high school category is open to students 9 through 12. Both categories offer entries for individuals and teams up to 4 students. Entries can be created using a number of tools, including GameStar Mechanic, Microsoft Kodu, GameMaker, Scratch, or written game design concept document. The National STEM Video Game Challenge is accepting entries through April 24th of 2013. Winners in each category will be selected for each game creation platform and will receive an AMD-powered laptop computer, that's hot, including game design and educational software, even better. Each winner's sponsoring organization will receive a cash prize of $2,000. The Cooney Center and E-Line are joined by returning title sponsors, the AMD Foundation, Microsoft's Xbox 360, the Entertainment Software Association, and new national community sponsors, the Hive Digital Media Learning Fund in the New York Community Trust and the Institute of Museum and Library Services. National outreach partners for this year include Brain Pop, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, PBS Kids Ready to Learn Initiative, Learning Games Network, and Edmodo. Edmodo? Anyway, that's awesome. So again, deadline is February 23rd. Upcoming events including workshops on February 23rd in Philadelphia at the Free Library of Philadelphia at the Museum of History and Industry in Seattle on March 23rd. So, yay, get your submissions in. If you've got a kid who codes, wants to write about a game, create a game, this is awesome. I'm a little upset that they're only doing it for middle school through high school because we've seen some really, really great games made by elementary kids. I want to say, what was it, Bubble Pop or whatever it was last year?
Are you talking about freaking Pony Corn? Look, are you talking about freaking Pony Corns? Because that's 5 years old right there.
Too. Pony Corn. 5 years old. But no, there was a game written by like a third grader for his little brother. It was on the iOS systems, and it was Bubble something or other, and everybody loved it.
I remember.
It was written by a third grader.
I remember. His college is paid for.
Yes, yes, yes. So I'm a little upset that they're only offering it for the two.
Well, you know what that is. They don't really want to deal with the little people.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. I'm sure there's a whole other issue that comes up when you deal with children that young.
And, of course, you don't want anybody's mama slapping you. And little smart kids, annoying. I know this because mine can get to be.
Stop being so smart.
Yes, that's what you want to say. Stop being so smart. You're asking too many questions. Damn, you ask a good question. I don't know. You're the smart one. You're supposed to know.
I don't know. Let me go Google it. But I don't know where to find Google. Oh, my God. Sorry. Something I saw on Facebook the other day just made me want to, like.
Yeah, I don't have any troubles with that. That girl Googles like a champ. Matter of fact, she'll have three different browsers open, and all of them open to something different. Google. Did I tell you she has all the browsers? She has IE, Mozilla, and Chrome, and I didn't install them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, there was a Facebook post the other day with some chick. How do I get to Google? Oh, God, please tell me you're not serious. I'm serious. All right, whatever.
That's ridiculous. And Baby Natrix, what did our lesson Monday was she learned how to set up a Wi-Fi network.
That's awesome.
She's like, okay, wait a minute. What is the difference between the WEP and the WPA? What is the difference? And I said, we'll talk about that later. I will Google it. I will Google it. That is just fine.
I don't remember.
Me, I didn't either. That's why I had to play it up. I'll tell you later.
I know. And I learned that.
And tell you how smart she is. She says, so when my cousin comes here and she wants to get on my Wi-Fi with her iPad, if she doesn't act right, I can go in and change the code. I said, well, you change the code for everything. I'll give it to you, Mommy. I'll give you the code. It's okay. But I just want to know I can change it, right, so I can take my internet. That is not why I showed you this. Knowledge is power, but you're using your power for evil. With great power comes
great
responsibility.
Yes, yes, there you go. You needed to give her that speech. With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah,
it's not nice to turn off your cousin's internet.
And then you know what she told me? Mommy, that's from Spider-Man. And that's not real.
It applies. It applies.
That is from Spider-Man, and that is not real. Okay.
It applies.
See, that's what I get for having a smart kid. All right. I just downloaded the dev kit for Ouya. Don't ask me why. I just want to see what's in it.
Stop poking me over there. Stop it.
Who's poking you? Stop it poking.
Facebook people poking me. Like, no, not time for a Facebook war. Stop it.
I'm going to be quiet because I could go a whole new direction with that.
Hold on, I'm wet.
See? That's why I didn't say it. Little red haired children. No.
Allergy.
Well, it is about time for us to go. As you see, we are wasting time. We will be back here tonight with Pixinista. Yes, we'll be. If we can find any pictures of that see through dress, we'll probably share it with you if we can find any.
Well, we are going to have to share Carrie Underwood's dress from the Grammys. Did you see that? Oh, my God.
Was it lighted? Because if it's not geeky, we
don't. It was lighted. It was digital. It had photos. It had like a whole.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. We gotta do that tonight. So, guys, if you like it, some digital fashion and some. We kind of mix the digital with the geek. You know how it works. You know how we roll. We'll see you here tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Stay out of trouble. We are watching. And, Joe, you get no more cookies. I didn't forget.
No more cookies for you.
No more cookies. Mm-mm. The girl next door. I'm the boss. You've been waiting. Jen.
Cherry bomb!